Did you know that after The Lord of the Rings, Legolas and Gimli went on a road trip together, visiting places they loved in Middle-earth? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover The Lord of the Rings in nerdy detail, as well as other great fantasy worlds like A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. We all know that Legolas and Gimli became firm friends through the events of The Lord of the Rings, defying and going a long way to rectify the ancient enmity between their two peoples. But what is even more wonderful is that this wasn't the end. They carried on being friends for decades after. And they started with a road trip to show each other places that they loved. They decided to do this just after the Battle of Helm's Deep, or the Hornburg, as it's known in the books, while riding to Isengard, though they obviously couldn't go about it straight away. The context is that they are talking about the Huorns, those Ent-like creatures who had played such a decisive role at the end of the battle, and Legolas thinks that they must have come from Fangorn Forest. Gimli expresses his view that that would make Fangorn the most perilous wood in Middle-earth. Gimli is not a fan of the Huorns. Then Gimli starts talking about something he likes more, the Glittering Caves, a cave system behind Helm's Deep that he found himself in during the battle. And Gimli waxes lyrical about them for a while. Seriously, this is probably the longest speech he gives in the whole book. He is passionate and eloquent about how the sound of falling water echoes around them, the light plays off the precious stones in the walls, you get the idea. Legolas is clearly taken aback a bit by this passion. "You move me, Gimli," he said. "I have never heard you speak like this before. Almost you make me regret that I have not seen these caves. Come, let us make this bargain. If we both return safe out of the perils that await us, we will journey for a while together. You shall visit Fangorn with me, and then I will come with you to see Helm's Deep." "That would not be the way of return that I should choose," said Gimli. "But I will endure Fangorn if I have your promise to come back to the caves and share their wonder with me." "You have my promise," said Legolas. And so they come to an agreement to show each other those places when time allows. As it turns out, their journey back from Minas Tirith after the war takes them first to Helm's Deep rather than Fangorn. The hobbits, Gandalf, Legolas and Gimli and a few others are travelling back northwards after Middle-earth had been saved, Aragorn crowned and various people married. We read this. "They came at length to Helm's Deep, and there they rested 2 days. Then Legolas repaid his promise to Gimli and went with him to the Glittering Caves, and when they returned, he was silent, and would say only that Gimli alone could find fit words to speak of them. And never before has a dwarf claimed a victory over an elf in a contest of words," said he. "Now, therefore, let us go to Fangorn and set the score right." It's quite touching, not just how Legolas was clearly blown away by what he saw, but also deferred to Gimli's description of it. Dwarves surely can describe caves with an eloquence only elves can describe trees. And also notice how this friendship, forged in the competition of who killed the most orcs at Helm's Deep, keeps its lovably competitive edge, with Legolas talking about a contest of words and wanting to set the score right by taking Gimli to Fangorn, which he then does after they have travelled on to Isengard. All save Legolas said that they must now take their leave and depart either south or west. "Come, Gimli," said Legolas. "Now, by Fangorn's leave, I will visit the deep places of the Entwood and see such trees as are nowhere else to be found in Middle-earth. You shall come with me and keep your word, and thus we will journey on together to our own lands in Mirkwood and beyond." To this Gimli agreed, though with no great delight, it seemed. We don't hear of Gimli's considered reaction to his visit to Fangorn, but I like to think that he too was struck with awe. As you would expect with Tolkien, the choice of these two places to go was not random. Tolkien uses Gimli and Legolas to thematically bring dwarves and elves, and Middle-earth as a whole, back together after all those centuries of enmity and distrust. When describing the Glittering Caves, Gimli references the Elven King's underground halls in northern Mirkwood. That's Legolas's own land, reminding him that the dwarves aided in that, in a thawing in relations between the two peoples. And if you want an even deeper cut, those caves were inspired by the Thousand Caves of Menegroth in the First Age, where King Thingol of the Elves lived in caves carved out by dwarves, and dwarves were welcome to stay and work. It's also the site of one of the foundational grudges between the elves and dwarves. Bringing Legolas to the Glittering Caves was not just showing Legolas something the dwarves find beautiful, but symbolically reminding him of how dwarves and elves could live in harmony, and in some ways were not so different after all, both enjoying a good cave system. And Gimli going to Fangorn, home of the Ents, was not just Legolas showing Gimli how great trees can be, it brought us back to the very origin of dwarves and Ents. You'll remember that Aula the Smith forged the dwarves while waiting for the children of Ilúvatar to awake, back before the first age of Middle-earth. There's a whole story there, but when Yavanna, Aula's wife, discovered about the dwarves, she lobbied for some protection for the trees, hence the arrival of the Ents. So the Ents were, from their very beginning, opposed to the dwarves, and the dwarves wary of the Ents. As a complete aside, I suspect that men and maybe even elves ended up chopping down more trees than the dwarves did, but that's not really the point here. Gimli going to Fangorn and hopefully making his peace with the forest and the Ents is another step in healing Middle-earth. And after that, Legolas seems to suggest that they were also going to go together to their respective homes, to journey on together to their own lands in Mirkwood and beyond, he says. You'll remember that there was particular bad blood between those two sets of elves and dwarves since King Thranduil had held Thorin and company prisoner there indefinitely during the events of The Hobbit, and then opportunistically attempted to take some of the dwarves' treasure by force when he heard that Smaug was dead. Gloin's son visiting Thranduil and Thranduil's son visiting King Dain, with friendship in their hearts, would have gone a long way to heal the wounds. In any event, the result was that both the Lonely Mountain and the Woodland Realm sent groups down to Gondor to live and help the men there to recover from Sauron's devastation, led by Gimli and Legolas, respectively. It was effectively a joint aid plan. Gimli and his people did great works in Gondor, forging new city gates of mithril and steel for Minas Tirith to replace those broken by the Witch King. Legolas and his companions beautified that city and settled in Ithilien, which became once again the fairest country in all the Westlands. Good works, but it also meant that the two friends remained close. Gimli brought south a part of the dwarf folk of Erebor, and he became Lord of the Glittering Caves. No doubt enacting the work there he had first excitedly described to Legolas. Legolas and Gimli's road trip wasn't just about building their friendship. It healed old wounds between elves and dwarves and Ents, and helped set the stage for the Fourth Age to truly be the dominion of man. As Treebeard notes, Gimli and Legolas have a strange friendship, but rarely can there have been one that did more to heal the hurts of their two peoples. Of course, in the very end, Legolas took Gimli with him on a boat trip to the west. We read this. Then Legolas built a grey ship in Ithilien, and sailed down Anduin and so over sea, and with him, it is said, went Gimli the dwarf. I covered the ins and outs of why Gimli was allowed to go to the Undying Lands in another video, but let's dwell here on the simple fact that it meant that neither ever abandoned the other, not even at the end. Friends to the last. It's often overlooked, but in Appendix B to The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien ends the tale of years, the record of what happens when in his world, with Legolas and Gimli. It says this, the last word on the matter. And when that ship passed, an end was come in Middle-earth of the Fellowship of the Ring. The story ends only when Legolas and Gimli sailed together into the sunset. If you'd like more videos like this, breaking down the lore and history of Tolkien's Legendarium, please click on the link to my playlist on the left of your screen. Or to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.